Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that emphasizes God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing a series that I just started yesterday talking about how to fulfill your destiny. And I am very excited about this teaching. You know, this is actually what got my life turned around. Of course, I didn't understand all of the things that I'll be sharing with you in this series, but when I was in high school, you know, prior to that time, I basically was just doing what I had to do. Everybody that grew up during the time I did, you had to go to public school, you had to go through grade school and junior high and high school, and it was only after you got out of high school that really you had to start making some decisions. And I remember that they had a career day, and they started talking about what do you want to do with your life. And that was really the first time that I had ever really given any thought to that. And as the graduation from my high school drew near, I got to really desiring to know what God's will for my life was. And I can't tell you all of the reasons why I did that. I know part of it, I was brought up to believe that God had a destiny for everyone. And prior to that time, I was just doing the necessary things, you know, that you had to do. But as I began to start looking at me charting my own course from there on, I really started seeking God. And throughout my entire senior year of high school, and then after I graduated through the summer, and then through the first 8 months of me going to college, I was just seeking God day and night. God, what is your purpose? I know you have a purpose for my life. And I didn't understand what I was asking for. I didn't know exactly where I was going. I just knew that God had a purpose for my life. And through seeking that, that's how God intervened in my life. That started everything. I was already born again, but it's when I started trying to find out what God's purpose for my life was. That's what started me growing in the Lord, and that was what occasioned everything that has happened that has led me up to this point for the last 41 years. And so I know personally that trying to find out God's purpose for your life is really like a starting point. You aren't going to go very far. You know, it wouldn't matter how much you know about God. It wouldn't matter how much revelation of the Word of God you have or any of these other things if you aren't using that wisdom and knowledge and anointing and giftings for the purpose that God has for it, well, then you aren't going to be fulfilled. You aren't going to fulfill your full potential. I believe that we only have one way to reach the maximum potential that God has for our lives, and that's to find out what His purpose is. So I started teaching about that yesterday. I used Galatians chapter 1, verse 15. In that verse, Paul talked about when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me according to the gospel. Paul had a purpose given to him when he was still in his mother's womb. And that's not an isolated instance. That's not just a super saint who God treats some people differently than others. There are certain people that have a calling and a destiny on their life, like a president or somebody who's going to be majorly influential in the world. But I believe every one of us, down to the last person, if you think that you are a nobody, God created you with a purpose. You may not be fulfilling it. You may have no revelation at all. You may be far, far, far from where God wants your life to be. But God had a design for you. You aren't an accident. Your parents might have been surprised to see you come along, but God wasn't. And there's a lot of scriptures. You know, before I get to this verse I was headed for, let me just turn over here to Psalms chapter 139. And this is a powerful passage of scripture. It says in verse 13, Psalms 139, verse 13, "For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." Now see, God's intervention and dealing with us began when we were still in our mother's womb. And this is not the point of me reading these scriptures, but for any of you who wonder about when life begins and probably the liberal interpretation, I could say it that way, today is that a child isn't truly a child until they are born and able to sustain life outside of the womb. This is saying just the opposite, that God possessed David, the writer of this, when he was still in his mother's womb. And I guarantee you, God didn't possess a fetus, some just hunk of tissue that wasn't a person yet. This was a real person. In the first chapter of the book of Luke, you can see that John the Baptist, when he was only 6 months along in the pregnancy, it was 3 months before his birth, Mary walked in and greeted Elizabeth, and Elizabeth said that the baby leapt in her womb for joy. This wasn't a hunk of tissue that had joy. This was a viable, real person. Just because it wasn't outside of the womb didn't mean that it wasn't a person yet. So for anybody who believes the Bible, then abortion is killing a real person. And you can sit there and reject that because it doesn't fit into your convenience, but that's the truth. And if you abort a baby, you are killing a person. This says that you have possessed me, you possess my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in thy book all of my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Boy, what a powerful passage of Scripture. This is saying before we had even developed into our parts. When you're just in an embryonic stage, God knows everything about you. He knew all of your parts. He knew everything. And according to the Scriptures that I've already read in Galatians chapter 1, verse 15, Paul was separated unto the gospel from his mother's womb. I'm going to read this out of Jeremiah chapter 1, that God had a purpose for Jeremiah before he was ever born. You know, I just recently heard a story that during Hurricane Katrina, some of the people who were doing rescue work actually went into, I'm not sure exactly what, it was either a hospital or a birthing center or something. And anyway, they knew that there were embryos in there that had been fertilized and they were frozen. And they went in and during this tragedy rescued these embryos. And then it was months later, I think it was about 9 months later, something like that, that they took these rescued embryos and they actually implanted them in a woman. And she gave birth to a child that they named Noah, I believe it was, based on the flood and all of these things. So it was a total of 19 months after the embryo had been conceived and it was planted and gave birth. And that little embryo that was rescued had in it everything that became this boy who is now a normal, healthy, growing boy. I tell you what, if you have any objectiveness at all, how in the world could you look at that little embryo, the embryonic stem cells, which people are now experimenting with and thinking that, well, it's not alive. We can sit there and tear those up and take their stem cells and do this. You're murdering an individual. And I know that there's people that reject that, but I tell you what, it's the truth. And this is exactly what the Bible says. Look at this verse again. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. This is definitely talking about before birth. And in thy book, all of my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. The Lord actually had written down about you exactly what you were going to look like, exactly the color of your hair, the color of your skin, all of your parts, everything about you before they ever existed. I'm telling you, you are not a freak of nature. You are not a happenstance. You did not evolve. I think that one of the reasons that people are so bent on just saying that there is evolution and that we all evolve from some slime in the face of such overwhelming proof that there has to be an intelligent design. You can't have this complexity. You know, just recently, these flowers that are behind me on our set, we came in here and the flowers were falling over. And we were talking about, now how did that happen with somebody in here? And basically we just decided that, you know what, eventually things go from a state of order to a state of disorder. That's what they call the second law of thermodynamics, I think it is, or dynamics. I'm not a scientist. Anyway, it's one of the laws that is observable and that scientists have written down, that things don't go from complex, I mean from simple to complex. They go exactly the opposite. If you leave flowers out, they don't get arranged and become better over time. They go from being arranged to where they fall over and they have to take maintenance. And yet all of evolution is based on something that is completely different than anything that we can observe. It is based on the fact that things went from infinitely simple and nothingness to ultimately complex. I can guarantee you, you can take all of the parts of a car, which in the first place isn't even relative to creation and evolution the way that people talk about it. But if you took all of the parts of a car and left them in your garage, come back in a million years and it's impossible that those things will ever assemble themselves and turn into a car and become something that is drivable and work. It just doesn't go that way. But you could take a car and over a million years that thing would rust and decay and fall apart, and earthquakes and different things would affect it. And you know what? It'll go from a state of order to a state of disorder. And anybody who believes differently is just trying to sell you something, are totally out of it themselves. And yet, anyway, my point is not to teach on creation versus evolution, but I think that the reason that evolution is so attractive to people, even in the space of logic that cries against it, is because it doesn't make you accountable. They don't like this thought that God had recorded everything about you and that you are accountable, that God created you and designed your life for a purpose, and that someday you're going to answer to a creator who had a purpose for your life and your choices weren't just your own. You couldn't waste your life and do whatever. People don't like that because that would make them accountable. That means they couldn't be just a dope head, a pod head. They couldn't just go out and be an adulterer and do whatever they want to. And after all we do is live and die and then cease to exist. No, there's something more than just this life. We have a creator that we're accountable to, and ungodly people don't like to think that way because it would cramp their style. They couldn't be as ungodly. They would have to answer to someone. This is the reason you'll see people go out and kill other people and then turn and kill themselves. They think they've escaped prosecution. All you've done is usher yourself before the judge of the whole earth, where your damnation has already been sealed. That doesn't end anything. But see, people like to think that we aren't accountable. And so that's one of the reasons that evolution is a religion. People believe it against fact, against reality. But I'm saying that you are created for a purpose. You have a destiny. From the very beginning, before your parts were even formed, before you became a functioning, viable human being, sustainable outside of the womb, God had a purpose for you. And it is dependent, or I could say incumbent upon us. We are compelled to find out what that purpose is. First of all, you can never fulfill that purpose if you don't know God. The first purpose for every person is to know God. What good would it do for you to find out what God wants you to accomplish and then not have a relationship with God in this life and go to hell? What good does it do if a man gains the whole world and loses his own soul, is what Jesus said. And so the first thing that every one of us should come to recognize is that you need God. You need a Savior. You can't save yourself. And so you have to come to the Lord and be truly born again. But even beyond being born again, God has a purpose for your life. He didn't just save you and then you get stuck until you die and go to heaven. God wants to use you. God designed you. Every talent, everything about you, your gender, your race, your nationality, your gifts, your callings, the family that you were born to, everything about you is designed to fulfill a purpose. I don't know how many different ways I can say that, but I'm just trying to get it across that you aren't on your own to just pick and choose what you want to do. Look at these verses in Jeremiah chapter 1. It says in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4, it says, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you and ordained you a prophet unto the nations." Now, how can you get around that? I tell you, people that think, well, it's basically just up to us. I'm going to try and be a good person, live my life, and I hope things work out. God, I hope that what I'm doing honors you. And you think it's just up to you to pick and choose. It's multiple choice, and whichever thing you choose is okay. This says, the Lord is telling Jeremiah, before I formed you in your mother's womb, before you came forth out of the belly, I sanctified you, and I ordained you to be a prophet unto the nations. Some people may think, well, that was only limited to Jeremiah. Well, I've already used the scripture in Galatians chapter 1, verse 15, where Paul said the same thing. There's an instance in Isaiah, I forget the exact location, I think it's around chapter 49 or somewhere, where Isaiah said the exact same thing. And the scripture says that God is no respecter of persons, Romans chapter 2. And so if this is true of Paul, if it's true of Jeremiah, if it's true of Isaiah, and even though it's not said in these exact words, you can see that God raised up people for specific purposes. You can see that David, it says in 1 Samuel chapter 13, and I believe it's verse 14, he says, "Therefore, I forget the exact wording, but I have sought a man after my own heart who will do his will." That was in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14. And if you study things out, it was 8 more years before David was even born. That's the one that he was talking about. And it was 8 years before David was born, and then another 30 years after David's birth before he actually took over the kingdom and fulfilled that. So it was 38 years later when all of these things came to pass, and God sought him out and chose David before, 8 years before he was even conceived. Now, I know some of you say, well, man, I can't understand that. I can't wrap my brain around it. Well, I'm not sure that I understand it, but you know what? I can embrace things that I can't understand. We've got a God that's bigger than me, and it doesn't bother me to recognize that His ways are higher than my ways, but when it's written out and just clearly stated, I accept it. And these scriptures, all of these scriptures I'm using, God had a purpose for you before you were ever born, before you were ever conceived, before you ever came forth out of your mother's womb. God has a purpose for your life. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, one of the reasons that some of you are so frustrated and that you're having such hard times in your life is because you haven't looked to God to find out His purpose and His will. You are a self-made man or woman, and that's the exact problem right there. You went out and picked your own mate. You lusted after somebody. You shacked up with them. You didn't follow the instructions of God's Word. You have gone about things your own way, and now you're reaping the results of it, and you're praying and asking God to fix something that never was conceived by God. There are many of you that have created your own pitfall. You've gone out and you've mortgaged your future. You're living beyond your means, and you have put yourself in a bind so that if there is the slightest little hiccup in your life, you are facing financial disaster, and on and on and on we could go with scenarios. But I'm telling you that there are many of you that for you to fix the situation you're in, you don't just need a miracle where you are. You need to reevaluate your entire life. You need to find out what God's purpose, what His destiny for your life is, and you need to change course. And some of you are thinking, well, I've gone too far. I can't do this. You know, this is the awesome thing about God. It's like, you know, if you could imagine somebody from miles and miles above the earth looking down at you, and here you are, you're off course, you're off of the main road, you're on a dirt road, or you're stuck out in a marsh somewhere and you don't have a clue where you are. But this person up above you, they could see where you are, they could see where you're supposed to go, and they would be able to plot a course from where you are right into the center of where you're supposed to be. Now see, we can understand that in a natural sense. Well, in a supernatural sense, God can see where He wanted you to be, where you are, and God can plot a course that will put you back in the right direction. The Lord can do it, but before He can do it, He won't do it without your consent and cooperation. The Lord doesn't take our life and just move it faithfully, sovereignly, to where you have nothing to do with it. There are people that teach that, and I've spent quite a bit of time on my television program trying to counter that fatalistic, extreme sovereignty of God thing, to where everything that happens is ordained by God. The Scripture does not teach that. It would be useless to give all of the thousands and thousands of times that the Lord tells us to choose, do this, don't do that, do this, go this direction. Why would He tell us to choose? Why even do anything if everything is automatically going to work out? It doesn't automatically work out. You have to pursue the things of God. And the first step for many of you in finding your destiny is just to recognize that everyone has a destiny. Everyone has a destiny. Not just a few select people. Everyone. Every person watching me right now. Every one of you. I don't care who you are. It doesn't matter how bad your life is. Some of you may be drunk. Some of you may be high on dope. Some of you may be thinking of suicide. Some of you may be at the end of your rope and thinking it's just over, I've gone too far. Some of you may be in a nursing home and now you're thinking, man, you're telling me that I've missed God my whole life? It doesn't matter what your situation is. God can redeem that situation, turn your life around and make it count, but it can't happen until you, first of all, humble yourself. Quit making your own decisions. Recognize that God has a destiny for you and then yield yourself. If you've blown your whole life, if you've been doing things your own way, humble yourself. Go to the Lord and say, Father, I'm sorry for living my life as if I was God and not realizing that I was created by You with a purpose. Forgive me for just doing my own thing, whether you were rebellious or whether you did it out of ignorance. Just repent. Father, I'm sorry. And then humble yourself and say, God, here's the rest of my life. Whatever I've got left, I give it to You. And I want You to take it and use it. If you would do that and be sincere with all of your heart, I guarantee you, God would come in. You would begin to start experiencing a peace, a satisfaction, a joy, an excitement about the future. God can take whatever situation you're in, get you out of it, put you into a positive thing. And if I had time, I could go through hundreds and hundreds of scriptural examples of this exact same thing happening. Moses had killed a man, spent 40 years in exile, and yet he humbled himself. And boy, God used him. And here we are, 4,000 or 5,000 years later, talking about Moses and what happened with him. Abraham was a man who didn't even honor his wife enough that he was willing to let other people take his wife and commit adultery with her because he was afraid for his life. And yet this man who was a coward and didn't take his responsibility as a husband the way that he should, he did believe God and God touched him. And man, he was the guy that started the Jewish race and God used him. And on we could go talking about people. It's not too late. But you have to recognize that God has a destiny for you, and then you have to seek it. You know, I'm out of time today, but I will continue this tomorrow. I would like to encourage you to listen as our announcer gives you information about how you can get all of our materials on how to fulfill your destiny.
We're happy to announce that Destiny Stories, Volume 1, is now available. Contained on one powerful DVD are the stories of real people who dared to believe that God had an exciting destiny for their lives. You'll be inspired and transformed as you hear their stories. Destiny Stories is available for a gift of any amount. Request DVD T3006D. Andrew's teachings played a central role in each of these Destiny Stories. Today, we're offering Andrew's four-part teaching titled, How to Fulfill Your Destiny. This teaching will help you discover your God-given destiny and teach you to walk in it. It's available on either CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1051C or DVD album T1051D when you contact us. Your gifts help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. The first teaching in the CD album titled, Everyone Has a Destiny, is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first teaching free of charge. Request teaching THT19C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you.
You know, the things that I'm sharing, every person needs to hear. There are just so many truths in what I'm saying that are contrary to our secular world today. And I'm doing everything I can to reach as far as I possibly can. I'd like to thank those of you who have become partners with us. You know, during a time of global recession, we are expanding. We have reached further than we ever have, and I have a desire to keep expanding. Now's a great time to do it. But we need people to stand with us. You know, if you have been blessed by this program and see the benefit of it, I ask you to pray about becoming a partner with us. Instead of just listening, we ask you to become a part. We have a number on your screen, and please call and request information about how you can become a partner.
You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Again, that number is 719-635-1111. Or you can reach us through our website, where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We appreciate your generosity. We hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. He'll be in Amsterdam for the Eurospirit Conference May 21st through the 23rd. In Raleigh, North Carolina for a Gospel Truth Seminar June 11th through the 13th. And in Colorado Springs for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference June 29th through July 3rd. He'll also be in Durant, Oklahoma July 30th and 31st. And in Boston, Massachusetts for a Gospel Truth Seminar August 6th through the 8th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
We're getting close to our Summer Family Bible Conference. It's going to be on June the 29th through July the 3rd, and it's going to be a great time for the whole family. We have children's ministry. We have it set up so that there are our CBC classes in the morning, but the afternoons are off, and then evening meetings. It's just a great time, and I believe that it could be a vacation for you and your whole family. The children will be blessed. So make plans to join me June the 29th through July the 3rd for our Summer Family Bible Conference.